Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Dan Friedel and Steve Herman have a story on AM radio, and Faith Perlow explains the difference between the words hear and listen. Later, we listen to a story by O. Henry called The Exact Science of Matrimony. But first,
the move by automobile manufacturers to include radios in cars nearly 100 years ago helped spread AM radio across the United States. But now, some car makers want to stop providing AM radio in their new vehicles. The first cars to be sold with radios were introduced in the 1930s. They only received one kind of radio transmission, those that broadcast using AM, or amplitude modulation. After some time, radios could receive transmissions in AM and FM. FM stands for frequency modulation. For many years, those were the only choices. But after a while, car makers added 8-track players, audio cassette players, compact disc players, and eventually Bluetooth connections, so people could play music from mobile devices such as an iPhone. However, cars are no longer sold with 8-track players or compact disc players. And now, some new electric cars are being sold with radios that only receive FM signals. Car makers say the driving systems in electric vehicles interfere with the AM signal.
That concerns the people who own and work at about 4,000 radio stations in the U.S. that broadcast in AM. One of them is in the small town of Dimmitt, Texas. Nancy and Todd Whalen own the radio station KDHN 1470, which has been broadcasting since 1963. They are the only employees, and they talk on the radio every morning. The Whalens have run the station for 8 years. They say they do it, so Dimmitt has something to feel good about. We feel like what we've done and continue to do is provide that not just for Dimmitt, but for all the small towns in the area that no longer have local radio stations. KDHN also runs a translator, or a system that changes the signal so their programs can also be heard on FM. But the AM signal is much stronger. The FM signal covers about a 30-kilometer radius from the transmitter, while the AM signal covers 160 kilometers. Nancy Whalen called the AM signal our bread and butter since the beginning. The reduction in the number of AM stations has many people worried. That includes broadcasters, business owners, farmers, and lawmakers. Some broadcasting companies that own AM radio stations are selling their land because it is more profitable than running a radio station. Amy Klobuchar is a senator from Minnesota. She is concerned about losing AM radio stations. They keep people in her large state informed. In an online video, Klobuchar said AM radio gives people the information they need in many of our rural areas. She noted that a lot of people drive long distances in rural areas and listen to the radio in the car. She also said of AM radio, "This is where people find their local news." Klobuchar and others are working on the AM for Every Vehicle Act.
They want to keep AM radio in cars. The lawmakers say the car makers should find a way to keep AM radio. When Klobuchar talks about people in rural areas, she is talking about people like Rodney Hunter. He supervises two grain storage structures called silos in Texas. He said, "Farmers will listen to the radio on their way to sell grain. Without the news on AM radio, they would not know if grain prices were up or down. Farmers are in their trucks or tractors going up and down the road," Hunter said. He added, "It is easier for them to listen to the agriculture news on AM radio than to try to find the information online." But the people who run AM radio stations are not just farmers and small-town business people with a sense of civic pride. About 5 hours southeast of the grain storage building, Joanne Wong is a pharmacist who listens to KKDA 730 in Dallas, Texas. It is a Korean language station. At first, Wong said she thought listening to a Korean station was only for old people. But it actually was pretty interesting, she said. She said she got a lot of information and even heard Korean pop songs, known as K-pop. The station is owned by DK Media Group. The company also runs two Korean language newspapers. Stephanie Min Kim is the president. She said, "Removing AM from cars would hurt small companies like hers that broadcast in languages other than English. It is too costly to buy a license or government permission to broadcast in FM," she said.
Kim once worked for the Korean broadcaster KBS. She said, "We feel that it is our duty to help and support our Korean immigrants integrate into American society." She said her radio station hosts discussions with experts in law, healthcare, and education that help people from Korea learn about life in the U.S. She said if AM is removed from cars, the transmissions face an existential threat. That means the existence of the stations is threatened. I'm Steve Herman.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
Hi there. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between listen and hear. Hello, my name is Walid, and I am from Egypt. I would like to ask about the difference between hear and listen. Thanks in advance, Walid. Thanks for writing to us, Walid. This is an excellent question. Both words have to do with sounds and our ears. But they do not mean the same thing. Let's look at each. Hear is a verb that can either take a direct object or not. It has several meanings. First, in its simplest form, the word means to receive sound through the ear. Every few hours, I hear the whistle of the train. Hear can mean to get information or knowledge by hearing something. I hear that we need to clean out our offices soon. Hear also means to receive communication from someone. Nathan has not heard from his mother in a while. He needs to call her. Hear can share a meaning with the word listen. To say you hear someone means that you listen to them with attention. I hear your side of the story, but I do not agree. Let's move on to listen. Just like the last meaning we gave for hear, listen means to hear with attention and understanding. We often use the preposition to with it. It is difficult to listen to my teacher for a long time. Listen can mean paying attention to sounds or being alert enough to catch and understand sounds. Maria listens to a lot of different kinds of music. My cat listens for the sound of the can opener to know when it is dinner time. And when speaking informally, listen can be a noun meaning the act of listening itself. Give this a listen. It's Carly Rae Jepsen's new song. The biggest difference between hearing something and listening to something is the amount of attention given to the process. Hearing is what we usually call a passive activity. Sounds are coming into your ear. You receive them, but you are not necessarily paying attention to them. Listening suggests an active effort that requires attention. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Waleed. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
That was this week's Ask a Teacher. Welcome back to the show, Faith.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me back.
This week, we learned the differences between the words hear and listen. Do you have any other information to share about these verbs?
I do. We did not get to mention all the phrasal verbs that come out of these two words.
Phrasal verbs are verbs that are combined with another short word or two, like prepositions.
That's right, Dan. Together, they mean something different than what the original verb meant. From here, we can add the prepositions from, out, or of. Hear from means to receive letters and phone calls from another person. To hear out means to listen to someone despite not wanting to, but because the other person really wants to say something. A common command would be like, "Hear me out, Dan." And then I would tell you something important or explain something. And the last one is heard of. When you hear of someone, you are aware of their existence or you know something about them. We hear of different celebrities or well-known people.
What about listen? Are there phrasal verbs for that?
Yes, we have listen for, listen up, and listen in.
Listen for means to pay attention to sounds to be able to hear them. Like, I listen for my cat's meow in the morning.
To know when he's hungry?
Exactly.
listen up is often used as a command and means to listen closely to what is said. If you have a room full of rowdy or talkative children and you want them to pay attention, you will say, listen up. And lastly, listen in can mean two things. Firstly, it can mean to tune into a broadcast.
Oh, like, thanks for listening in on the Learning English broadcast.
Yes, Dan, you added the on, but that is correct. Remember that phrasal verbs can have more than one short word or preposition. And the second meaning is to eavesdrop, or to listen to a conversation that you shouldn't. Like, I listen in on my neighbors when they fight.
I don't think you should do that, Faith.
You're probably right, Dan.
Our story today is called The Exact Science of Matrimony. It was written by O. Henry. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Jeff Peters and Andy Tucker could never be trusted. One day, the two men decided to open a marriage business to make some quick and easy money. The first thing they did was to write an advertisement to be published in newspapers. Their advertisement read like this: A charming widow, beautiful and home-loving, would like to remarry. She is only 32 years old. She has $3,000 in cash and owns valuable property in the country. She would like a poor man with a loving heart. No objection to an older man or to one who is not good-looking. But he needs to be faithful and true, can take care of property, and invest money with good judgment. Give address with details about yourself. Signed, Lonely, care of Peters and Tucker, agents, Cairo, Illinois. When they finished writing the ad, Jeff Peters said to Andy Tucker, So far, so good. And now, where is the lady? Andy gave Jeff an unhappy look. What does a marriage advertisement have to do with a lady? He asked. Now listen, Jeff answered. You know my rule, Andy. In all illegal activities, we must obey the law in every detail. Something offered for sale must exist. It must be seen. You must be able to produce it. That is how I have kept out of trouble with the police. Now, for this business to work, we must be able to produce a charming widow, with or without the beauty, as advertised. Well, said Andy, after thinking it over, it might be better if the United States Post Office should decide to investigate our marriage agency. But where can you hope to find a widow who would waste her time on a marriage proposal that has no marriage in it? Jeff said that he knew just such a woman. An old friend of mine, Zeke Trotter, he said, used to work in a tent show. He made his wife a widow by drinking too much of the wrong kind of alcohol. I used to stop at their house often. I think we can get her to work with us. Mrs. Zeke Trotter lived in a small town not far away. Jeff Peters went out to see her. She was not beautiful and not so young, but she seemed all right to Jeff. Is this an honest deal you're putting on, Mr. Peters? She asked when he told her what he wanted. Mrs. Trotter, said Jeff. 3,000 men will seek to marry you to get your money and property. What are they prepared to give in exchange? Nothing. Nothing but the bones of a lazy, dishonest, good-for-nothing fortune seeker. We will teach them something. This will be a great moral campaign. Does that satisfy you? It does, Mr. Peters, she said. But what will my duties be? Do I have to personally reject these 3,000 good-for-nothings you speak of? Or can I throw them out in bunches? Jeff explained that her job would be easy. She would live in a quiet hotel and have no work to do. He and Andy would take care of all letters and the business end of the plot. But he warned her that some of the men might come to see her in person. Then she would have to meet them face to face and reject them. She would be paid $25 a week and hotel costs. Give me 5 minutes to get ready, Mrs. Trotter said. Then you can start paying me. So Jeff took her to the city and put her in a hotel far enough from Jeff and Andy's place to cause no suspicion. Jeff Peters and Andy Tucker were now ready to catch a few fish on the hook. They placed their advertisement in newspapers across the country. They put $2,000 in a bank in Mrs. Trotter's name. They gave her the bank book to show if anyone questioned the honesty of their marriage agency. They were sure that Mrs. Trotter could be trusted and that it was safe to leave the money in her name. Their ad in the newspapers started a flood of letters, more than 100 a day. Jeff and Andy worked 12 hours a day answering them. Most of the men wrote that they had lost their jobs. The world misunderstood them. But they were full of love and other good qualities. Jeff and Andy answered every letter with high praise for the writer. They asked the men to send a photograph and more details. And they told them to include $2 to cover the cost of giving the second letter to the charming widow. Almost all the men sent in the $2 requested. It seemed to be an easy business. Still, Andy and Jeff often spoke about the trouble of cutting open envelopes and taking the money out. A few of the men came in person. Jeff and Andy sent them to Mrs. Trotter, and she did the rest. Soon, Jeff and Andy were receiving about $200 a day. One day, a federal postal inspector came by. But Jeff satisfied him that they were not breaking the law. After about 3 months, Jeff and Andy had collected more than $5,000, and they decided it was time to stop. Some people were beginning to question their honesty, and Mrs. Trotter seemed to have grown tired of her job. Too many men had come to see her, and she did not like that. Jeff went to Mrs. Trotter's hotel to pay her what she was owed and to say goodbye. He also wanted her to repay the $2,000 that was put into her bank account. When Jeff walked into the room, she was crying, like a child who did not want to go to school. "Now, now," he said, "what's it all about? Somebody hurt you? Are you getting homesick?"
"No, Mr. Peters," she said. "I'll tell you. You were always a good friend of my husband, Zeke. Mr. Peters, I am in love. I just love a man so hard, I can't bear not to get him. He's just the kind I've always had in mind."
"Then take him," said Jeff. "Does he feel the same way about you?"
"He does," Mrs. Trotter answered. "But there's a problem. He is one of the men who've been coming to see me in answer to your advertisement. And he will not marry me unless I give him the $2,000. His name is William Wilkinson."
Jeff felt sorry for her. He said he would be glad to let her give the $2,000 to Mr. Wilkinson so that she could be happy. But he said he had to talk to his partner about it. Jeff returned to his hotel and discussed it with Andy.
"I was expecting something like this," Andy said. "You can't trust a woman to stick with you in any plan that involves her emotions."
Jeff said it was a sad thing to think that they were the cause of the breaking of a woman's heart. Andy agreed with him.
"I'll tell you what I'm willing to do," said Andy. "Jeff, you have always been a man of a soft and generous heart. Perhaps I've been too hard and worldly and suspicious. For once, I will meet you halfway. Go to Mrs. Trotter. Tell her to take the $2,000 out of the bank and give it to this Wilkinson fellow and be happy." Jeff shook Andy's hand for a long time. Then he went back to Mrs. Trotter. She cried as hard for joy as she had done for sorrow. Two days later, Jeff and Andy prepared to leave town. "Wouldn't you like to go meet Mrs. Trotter once before we leave?" Jeff asked Andy. "She'd like to express her thanks to you."
"Why, I guess not," Andy said. "I think we should hurry and catch the train."
Jeff was putting all the money they had received in a belt he tied around his body. Then Andy took a large amount of money out of his pocket and asked Jeff to put it together with the other money.
"What's this?" Jeff asked. "It's Mrs. Trotter's $2,000, said Andy.
"How do you come to have it?" Jeff asked.
"Mrs. Trotter gave it to me," Andy answered. "I have been calling on her 3 nights a week for more than a month."
"Then you are William Wilkinson?" Jeff asked.
"I was," Andy said.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.